MZTV.
I'm going to bite off a lot today, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to chew it. Might not be able to chew it. So this might be part one, or maybe a two-part show on speaking in tongues. Yeah, the controversial topic of speaking in tongues. It's just not like me to take on controversial topics. I still owe you part two. I have that in my mind. I still owe you part two of the so-called unpardonable sin. Oh, you don't know I did part one? Some of you don't know I did part one? Well, type in MZTV, the unpardonable sin. Or maybe it's unforgivable sin. Type in both things. You'll find it. Type that in YouTube. And very helpful video to destroy the traditions of men, the false teachings that come from mistranslated scripture. This is Martin Zender, and welcome to another edition of MZTV. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. That's right, holding down the fort here on the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who supports this work. I don't do that enough. Every month is a miracle. Every month since October of 1993 has been a miracle. This is such a grassroots operation. And I love it that way. Nobody is compelled to give. No one. And again, people are shocked when I'm at conferences. I give away books. I've given away thousands of copies of books out of the goodness of my heart. And out of the fact that there are people who give generously to this work, enabling me to do that and to keep this show going. So I thank you corporately these days because I'm tapped out emotionally. I can't help it. It's really, I'm debilitated. But I can't do this without you. I always say that. Contributions are never required. Never, ever. But I've never turned one down to date. Have I? No, I never have. If you want to help this work and to keep it going, you can go to my homepage, martinzender.com. At the top left of the page, there's some words in red, and it says something like, help Martin do this work. I'll put the link directly down here if you want to do that. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of the peninsula, honestly. If I keep talking about it, I get emotional. You know that. You've seen me do it. Okay. Here's a shocking answer. Do I believe in speaking in tongues? Yes, I do. Now, you will not get that answer from anybody really associated with a concordant publishing concern. Because, you know, I learned a lot of what I know from the Concordant Publishing Concern. I owe them a lot. A. E. Nock, brilliant writer, brilliant expositor. I don't agree with them on everything. As you know, there's some major issues I have. But it's so easy to just throw out tongues or languages and to just wholesale say it's of the devil. But I can't do that, really, because I've experienced it. Well, Martin Zender, you must have been under the control of the devil. Well, I don't think so. The one point that's overlooked in that is that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:10 that there are different species of languages. This is much overlooked. Because whenever you hear somebody speaking in tongues, they think, well, it's no good unless you have an interpreter. You have to have an interpreter. It's all bogus if you don't have an interpreter. But there are different species of languages, Paul says. I'm going to get to the scripture. Don't worry. I got tons of scripture for you. Everything's going to make sense. So there is a kind of language that was meant for public demonstration that had to be interpreted. But these were the days. When Paul's talking about the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, he's dealing with a time that is much different than our time. In our time, the Word of God has been completed. Then, that wasn't the case. So, prophecy was needed. The gift of knowledge was needed. It's kind of like supernatural knowledge that God gave people. Because the knowledge, the treasure of knowledge was still being built in those days, in the first century. So, it has changed. Paul said, when maturity may be coming, all these things would be going away. I'll give you that verse too. Some people say, well, maturity is when we're snatched away. No, it's not. Because Paul teaches the mature. He encourages his people to become mature. There were those who were mature. So in Paul's day, these things were going to be going by the wayside. But here's the big question. When Paul says, when maturity may be coming, was he speaking dispensationally or personally? In other words, was he speaking of when the times become mature, when the word of God is completed, that's maturity, and then the languages are done forever? Or is it individual maturity? That is, that some people speak in languages, and then they become mature, and they realize that, these are toys. Languages is not a thing to be desired. It's a thing, it's a combination of spirit and flesh. It's a manifestation that at that time bolstered people's faith. But we don't need it now. We don't need our faith bolstered because we're constantly pushed by Paul to walk by faith, not perception, faith alone. Languages has to do with perception, doesn't it? When people are being healed, that's perception. You're looking at them walking, where before they couldn't walk, they're seeing before they were blind. But we're not in that day. Now, you notice I'm just speaking off the cuff now. I'm not getting to the scriptures yet because I'm just setting the table. So I'll definitely have to continue this tomorrow. I can already tell. So one other species, in other words, there's different kinds. There's different kinds of languages. I'm only going to deal with two right now because I don't know any other ones. One is when you're speaking in the ecclesia and you have to have an interpreter. That's gone. That's gone. Because that has to do with special knowledge. Getting special knowledge from God that is extra scriptural because the scriptures weren't finished yet. Another species of language is praying. Paul calls it praying in the Spirit. And that's the thing he said that he did more than anyone. And he contrasts that. He says, I speak in tongues more than any of you. But when in the ecclesia, whoa, wait a minute, he makes a qualification. I speak in tongues more than all of you. But when I'm in the ecclesia, do I want to speak, 5,000 words in language or 5 words with my mind? So Paul is not ultra crazy about languages. Let me just get to that verse because it's very important. Again, I'm just setting the table. All these things were, as the scripture says, out of an expedience. It was expedient at the time to give the movement a leg up, to have some manifestations. People are confused because there are some things carrying over from Israel, just to give the thing a little boost. I'm not saying that the message is related to Israel. It's coincidental, I would say, that some of the gifts that Paul talks about in his letter to Corinth, first letter to Corinth, some of those gifts, some of them were happening in Israel, like languages, but I think it's still independent of Israel. It was coincidence. It just happened. They're speaking in language. We're speaking in language. Just like their Savior is Jesus Christ. Our Savior is Jesus Christ, right? They have a baptism. We have a baptism. Even though their baptism is water, our baptism is spirit. So there were some similarities. And again, we forget how weird it had to have been in that day to have a completely new message coming out in its formative years. And we just take it for granted. That, we have this great message and we have the Spirit of God now. The Word of God is complete now. We've come to maturity, many of us, most of us. And so we don't need these little helpy helps. I'll call them helpy helps. 1 Corinthians 12. The gifts are helpy helps to get through that time. But when maturity comes, helpy helps go bye-bye, like your teddy bear. I consider languages to be like a teddy bear. No, it's just like you put the teddy bear away. You don't need that anymore. I haven't done it in years. You might want to know the circumstances under which I did it. What did it feel like? How was it? It was definitely praying in the Spirit. I don't know. I don't really like, I never talk about this. I'm doing it because it's a topic that comes up now and then. I should address it. I try to address everything, right? What am I on? Show 880? I mean, I try to address everything. I address the major things majorly and the minor things minorly, but I try to cover everything. But so I don't often talk about this because I don't want people to get the idea that I'm recommending it. I'm not. I'm not recommending languages. Paul calls it, he doesn't specifically call it, but when he lists the so-called gifts, the apportionments of the Spirit, languages comes in last. So it's not even the greatest gift. Paul at that time wanted people to prophesy. Pray that you prophesy. He would never give that advice today. I'm not giving that advice today. There are no prophets today. There are no prophets today. No one. Well, I was going to say no one should come up to you and say, I have a word to you from the Lord. They might, but you should not listen to them. If the Lord wants to say something to you, he'll say it to you directly, but I don't even believe in that. I believe he speaks through circumstances and certainly in the Word of God, the completed Word of God for us, the 13 letters of the Apostle Paul. So, a couple of times when I experienced this, maybe it has happened 8 times. Back in the 80s, as recently as 2009, but not since then, I don't think. Maybe 2010, I don't know. At one time, I felt like I was in such a spiritual ecstasy about our calling and about the heavenly realm. And I couldn't contain it. And the English language couldn't contain it. So it bubbled over into something that I didn't recognize, but it just kept coming. Couldn't stop it. It sounds like a demonic possession thing, like shaking. No. It was calm. It was very in control, but it was just kind of happening apart from my willing it to happen. I don't recommend this, okay? But it was not satanic, because I was already plugged into the truth big time. And it's not like I'm recommending it, and it's not like the Pentecostals who say that, oh, you must speak in tongues. It's the greatest thing. It's the be-all, end-all. In fact, you're not even spiritual. You can't even be sure that you're in Christ unless you speak in tongues. And they try to train you how to do it. My father-in-law said that some guy came up to him when they were in the Pentecostal church. And he said, Art White, do you speak in tongues? Oh, I never have. And Art said, well, how do I do it? And the guy said, well, first you just go like this, dang, dang, dang. And then you kind of purse your lips and then go, and then kind of pull your cheeks out and go, and then just kind of empty your mind and then roll your tongue a little bit, and then do it. Put it all together. Now it's like, Art said it was ridiculous. I mean, it's not something you teach somebody. It's just something that's there or not. It's a gift. Not everybody has it. It doesn't matter today if you have it or not. It's like I say, as far as I know, then that last time it happened to me was 2009. How many years has that been? You count them up. 13? Anyway. So, Paul says that there are different species of languages. Now, let's start with, I'm just going to briefly touch on the scriptures here. We're going to get more into it tomorrow. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Now to each one is being given the manifestation of the Spirit with a view toward expedience. That is, what is good for the time. What is good for the time. What is good for that time is not necessarily good for this time. And in this case, it is not. It was good at one time to build an ark. It was a good idea. It was expedient at that time to build an ark. It is not expedient now. So if you see somebody in the body of Christ thinking that they need to build an ark to escape the tribulation, tell them, put your arm around them, speak to them gently. Say, brother, sister, this is not expedient. There was a time for this, but it is not now expedient. So, cancel your order at DIY. You can use this, whatever you have done here. It's looking good so far, but make a swing set out of it for the kids. Chop the rest into kindling. Keep your house warm, but we don't need an ark now. We don't need languages now. We don't need prophecy now. We don't need the gift of knowledge now. Some of the gifts remain. Oh, yes. Pastors, teachers, and evangelists, they remain. Prophets and apostles, that is the gift of apostleship? No. See, I can show all you this in Ephesians. I can show you how the gifts gradually went away, but some remain. In fact, at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, now is remaining faith, expectation, and love. So all the things he mentioned were to go away when maturity came, and this is, I think, personal It's both personal maturity, and in that day, it was the maturity of the Word of God. See, we don't have that brand of maturity. That's what I would call epochal maturity. That is the epochs, E-P-O-C-H, epochal. That is belonging to time periods. That's already come. But individual maturity, that varies even today with the individual. Paul says, now we're remaining faith, expectation, and love. Yes, these are remaining out of all those things. And Paul says, the greatest of these is love. When this is all said and done, there will be no faith or no expectation because we'll have come into the reality. When all is said and done, there's only going to be one thing left is love. So we have the gifts plus faith, expectation, and love. Then we have the gifts going away and faith, expectation, and love remain. Then when we're perfected, faith and expectation go away and there's only thing that remaining is love. Like a rocket shedding stages. Okay? Back to verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm not going to go much longer here. To each one is being given the manifestation of the Spirit with a view toward expedience, what's good for everybody at the time. For to one indeed, through the Spirit, is being given the word of wisdom. And word of wisdom, this is a supernatural gift. It's not just like you're smart, you're wise. You can do advanced trigonometry, or you can recite the Proverbs. No. Yet to another, the word of knowledge, wisdom, knowledge, according to the same Spirit, yet to another, faith. Faith is one of the things remaining, faith, expectation, and love. See, that's just one of the things that remain. By the same Spirit, yet to another, the graces of healing, that's done away with. They're different. This is why. There's no different species of healing. Healing is healing. But Paul says there are species of languages. So where are you getting that word, Martin Sender? Oh, well, okay. I'll show you. It's coming up right here in the context. To one, word of wisdom. To one, word of knowledge. According to the same Spirit, another, faith. That's what I want, even today. By the same Spirit, yet to another, the graces of healing. By the one Spirit, yet to the other, operations of powerful deeds. Probably, these are probably miracles, powerful deeds. It's not like bench pressing 300 pounds. Yet to another, prophecy. Don't need it today. Yet to another, discrimination of spirits. I would say that's helpful, but I think it's a supernatural gift. Doesn't exist. Yet to another, species of languages. There it is. Species of languages. There's different kinds. Yet to another, translation of languages. Now all of these, one and the same Spirit is operating, apportioning to each his own, according as he, capital H, is intending. All right, that'll get you started for today. Don't try to speak in tongues. It's immature. It's absolutely not necessary. In fact, it's a hindrance because it can very easily become a reliance on a physical manifestation. And we're not to walk by physical perception. We're to walk by faith. So forget about it. And don't listen to anybody who comes from the Pentecostal persuasion. This is the greatest thing. And unless you do this, see, they're all proud of themselves. They're falling into the trap of the Corinthians. The Corinthians were doing the same thing, bragging about what gifts they had. Oh, I got the gift of pilotage. I got the gift of knowledge. Oh, yeah, well, I speak in tongues. Oh, yeah, which species? Oh, well, yeah, I thought so. See, this crap's going on today in the Pentecostal church. Forget about it. You don't need it. I'll close with this wonderful anecdote. My friend Herb Dirks. Since deceased, tough German guy, raspy guy, talk like, you know, a German. Anyway, Herb said, one time someone told me that I need the second blessing. Of course, the Pentecostals call speaking in tongues the second blessing. And Herb, he kind of spit when he talked. Second blessing? Oh, he was infuriated, outraged. Someone would suggest that. Herb then quoted to them, Ephesians 1:3. Why do I need the second blessing when I am blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ? Every spiritual blessing. With the second blessing? What a joke. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. That's a quote of Ephesians 1:3 via Herb Dirks.